It's good to be with you again here in South City Reformed Baptist Church. And we do think of you in Emmanuel Church, being sister churches. We love the doctrines of grace, don't we? And you probably know next year is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing his 95 Theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg. So it's a very significant time historically, and I hope we'll all remember that next year. October the 31st next year, all right? 500 years since Luther nailed that crucial document on that castle door, which sparked off the Protestant Reformation. Now, I invite you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Commencing to read from verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. May God bless us with his word. Now let's pray. O God, our Father in heaven, in the quietness of this moment, we would just bow before you. And we thank you for your word, which tells us of yourself, which reveals to us your holy character, which reveals to us your tremendous purpose of salvation in and through your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning, even as we have just read from this passage, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are certainly present. And so we pray that each one of us may have an awareness of your presence this morning. Help us, Lord, to look beyond our circumstances, which may be trying at times, but help us to realize that you are a caring Lord, that you are with us, that you are fully aware of all the issues that we are facing. Turn us away from this world. Turn us away from its vanities. Turn us away, O God, from the cares of this world. Help us to find our peace in the Lord Jesus Christ and our ample provision in and through him. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers, and we do pray for the South City Reformed Baptist Church. May your hand be upon this fledging fellowship. May it be aware of your guidance, of your blessings. May the word be faithfully preached here every Lord's Day with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And may there be a ready response in the hearts of all who hear that word. We pray for Pastor Alfie at this time, that you would give to him a fresh anointing of your Spirit, that he may come back in the fullness of the Spirit and continue his ministry here. And indeed we pray for a traveling mercies for Alfie and Elsie as they return in a few weeks. Again, Lord, we come to your word, and we are so conscious that without the Holy Spirit, we can never understand the Bible. It will just be another book. But we thank you that the Spirit of God elevates this book in our hearts and minds, that we behold it is the very Word of God. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our paths. And we would be so impoverished without this book. So, Father, we pray this morning as we come to the Scriptures that you would speak to us and that we might be edified and challenged, that we might be converted in the knowledge that Christ Jesus alone is the Savior. So, Father, hear our prayers. We pray in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to focus on the 20th verse, which is a very well-known verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We should thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ made that wonderful promise that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is certainly in the midst. And that is our encouragement this morning, that as we are gathered here, Christ is with us. So that's going to be the basic thrust of our meditation, that Jesus Christ has said that when his church is gathered together, he is present. And I hope we can be greatly encouraged by that as we continue here. But we need to put this in the context of the whole passage. We very quickly take this verse, don't we, and we apply it to ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we look at it in its context, the Lord was talking about judgment. And he was saying something to the effect that when the church comes together, it has a delegated authority by which it may discipline those who are wayward. That is the actual context of it, all right? And so in the immediate context, we have to think in terms of a church gathered together and having to go about this very difficult task of disciplining somebody. And Christ is saying that when you do this, when you come together in my name, whatever you do has the approval of heaven. So in other words, it's a very awesome task, isn't it? And in fact, speaking as a pastor, the most difficult task I've ever had to face is to discipline somebody. Very difficult. Anyway, that's the general context. But let's have a look at this more specifically and appropriate this verse to ourselves, because I think it's quite in order to go beyond the context of judgment and take this to ourselves. After all, Christ has demonstrated himself that where people were gathered together, he was there. You have Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Christ was there, you see. You had Paul toward the end of his life. He was there. Christ stood with him. So may this be of help to us, that Christ is with us even here today. Now let's have a look at this systematically. There are a couple of things to begin with which are truly remarkable. The first point is this. Christ here is speaking of the church, the word ecclesia. And there was no church as such in existence. There was the spiritual church for sure. But Christ was a Jewish man, and his hearers would have been familiar not with a gathered Christian church. They would have been familiar with the synagogue. So here is a remarkable thing, that Christ was not talking about the synagogue. He was talking about his church to come. And this is quite remarkable. It shows in our mind that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, not only did he know exactly what he was going to do, but he knew he would accomplish what he came to do. And that in the days ahead, there would be a church on earth in which he would be present and by which he would exercise the will of heaven in terms of discipline. Now this is remarkable, isn't it? Christ was not anchored in the synagogue. He came out of the synagogue system, to be sure. But he was the eternal Son of God, come to fulfill the purpose of that temple and of all those synagogues. And that purpose was to bring into being a body of believers, the ecclesia, the Christian church. Now, I find that absolutely remarkable. And here is somebody quite unique, so single-minded, so sure that what he came on earth to do, he would accomplish. Not only with regard to the church, but also when you think about it, another remarkable thing about this statement from our Lord Jesus Christ is this. He spoke of a future presence in the midst of his people. And yet in his mind, he knew he would have to die. And at the same time, he knew that death would not hold him, but that he would rise from the dead. He also knew that he would ascend into heaven, and from heaven send forth the Holy Spirit to baptize the church. In other words, Jesus Christ had no doubts that although he was to be crucified, nailed to a cross, he would be raised from the dead, and that he would be present with all those who believe in him throughout the ages. Now that's remarkable, isn't it? Can you just imagine? I try and imagine the Lord Jesus Christ saying this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the presence. And yet he knew he was going to die. He was absolutely assured that his heavenly Father would honor him, that he would raise him from the dead. Now that truly to me is remarkable. There's nobody else like Jesus, you know. And I hope that every one of you here this morning, that you have come to put your trust in Jesus Christ. From the youngest, the children here, to the very oldest. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, come into this world to bring about the work of redemption. He's present with us. He loves the church. He loves you here even this morning. Now that's what we're going to consider now as we continue. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We notice, therefore, the absolute importance of assembly. Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered together. He's talking about Christian people coming together. And how wonderful this is when God, by his Spirit, brings about a work in the hearts of people that they want to come together. They have new priorities. Whereas before regeneration, they were in the world doing all sorts of things. But now there's a new heart, there's a new mind. They want to come together. They want to gather together. And that surely is a work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, why are we here this morning? We could be at home watching television. We could be out there going for a jog, playing football. We could be doing many other things. But why are we here? It is because God has done a work in our hearts whereby we love Jesus and we believe in each other that we should come together. Hence the importance of gathering. That's why I'm always disturbed when people say that they are Christians but they never go to church. That is a total inconsistency in my mind with what the Bible speaks or demonstrates about a Christian church. You know, according to the New Zealand census, most New Zealanders still tick the Christian box when you're asked about your religion. So you could say over 50% of New Zealanders, when it comes to the census, they tick, yes, I'm a Christian. But you don't get 50% of Kiwis coming to church, do you? There must be quite a lot of people out there who may well be Christians, but they're mistaken in thinking they can sit at home watching TV, listening to tapes, reading books. All those things have their place in the Christian life, but there's a place also, supremely, for Christians to come together. Do you long to come together? You know, I was so touched about 3 weeks ago. I was watching the news, the Guardian newspaper, and they showed this picture of school children in a very remote village in China. And in order to go to school, these children had to negotiate a path, no more than, say, 1.5 to 2 meters, along the side of a mountain, and there was this huge drop. And I saw this and I was so touched because the children were only about 7, 8, 9 year olds. And the photographer, he got to the top and you could see the children coming up in single file. And at the very front was a young girl with a school bag going to school, negotiating this treacherous path. Why? Because they wanted to get to morning assembly at school. Now, we should be like that, you know. We should long to come together and not see Sunday morning service as an arduous task. I know sometimes, you know, we get a bit tired, don't we? We think, oh, I've got to go to church. We all have this feeling. But remember, when you come together, according to Jesus Christ, He is here. He is here. And we should be greatly encouraged by that. Now let's move on a bit. Not only is it important to assemble, but it is important to assemble in His name. In His name. When it says in His name, that is an all-encompassing phrase. It means we recognize Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We believe in His incarnation, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His presence in the church today. The name of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is the one under whose name we meet. You don't come to church with your own agendas, you know. You don't come to cause trouble. You don't come because you've got ulterior motives. No, no, you come and you gather in His name. That is the promise. People can come together in churches, but if they don't come together in His name, those churches can become synagogues of Satan. There are people today who go to church faithfully, but those churches do not preach the evangelical gospel. They do not meet in the name of Jesus. And they cannot be biblical churches. They become synagogues of Satan. Christ is present when His name is honored. Christ is present when people believe in His person, that He is the God-man, that He was born of a virgin, that He actually died, that He rose from the dead, that He ascended into heaven, that He poured forth the Holy Spirit, that He's in His church today worldwide, even though the church is being persecuted and oppressed. This is the name of Jesus. It's when you assemble with due reverence for Christ. When you assemble seeking His forgiveness, resting in His mercies, in His grace, exalting His name. When you assemble with the desire to go forth and share His gospel, that is when Christ is present. When you are gathered in His name. Not in your name, not in the name of anybody else, but in the name of Jesus. He is to be honored when we come together. But let's move on. It says here, our Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them. Now here is something deeply mysterious, the presence of Christ. What did Jesus mean here when He said, I am there in the midst of them? It's not an easy matter to address, but we believe, at least I believe, that it is a spiritual presence. He is present spiritually. And we would not expect Jesus to walk through that door in the way that He did in the early church. I'll come to this later on. But it's now a spiritual presence. It is the ordinary presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice in the context here, the issue is of judgment, you see, or discipline. And Christ is telling His disciples that whatever they decide on earth in the area of discipline, it will be accepted in heaven. In other words, what Christ is saying is something like this. He has delegated authority to Christians, even in this matter of discipline. In other words, the church has something to do to experience the presence of Christ. The church must discipline. And Jesus has said, when you do this, I am present. So what I'm trying to explain in a very clumsy way is that when you go about the ordinary, ordained things, Christ is present. In other words, when you come together and you have a prayer, when you read the Bible, when you have the Lord's Supper, when you fellowship one with another, when you hear sermons, these are the ordinary things, the ordinary life of the church, and Jesus has promised he will be present. He's here every time you assemble on the Lord's Day. Not in the spectacular, but in the ordinary things, the ordinary means of grace. And we should accept this and rejoice in it. That when we faithfully carry out these things in the name of Jesus, he has promised his presence. That these things are not just vain rituals. He is present. It's a spiritual presence. It's not found in the Roman Catholic Mass. You know how in the Roman Catholic Church they talk about the actual presence of Jesus, but that is not taught in the Bible. It is the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ. That is what he has promised. This is the ordinary presence. Now, in saying this, one doesn't deny the extraordinary presence. It might well be times when God in his sovereign will gives an extraordinary moment to an individual or to a church. One doesn't deny this. It happens in the Bible, doesn't it? The day of Pentecost is an example. Here were these disciples in the upper room. They were just going about their prayers and so on. And then something extraordinary happened. The Spirit was poured forth upon that early church. One doesn't deny these things as being impossible. And then in the history of the church, there have been many examples of a church experiencing revival. A group may be meeting as we are today, and suddenly the Spirit of God works powerfully, and his presence is known extraordinarily. And that is absolutely wonderful. We believe in revival, and we need revival and awakening in this country today. But that is an extraordinary work, and we are to be open to it. But in the time being, we must continue faithfully doing the ordinary things because Christ is still present with us. Let's rejoice in that. Now, concerning the presence of the Lord, there are these extraordinary seasons. But we mustn't expect these to be normative. There have been times in the history of the church when people have sought after signs and wonders. They've looked for the phenomena, and they've, I believe, artificially created circumstances where they say it is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, although I have my doubts. But the point I'm getting at here is this. We continue to do the ordinary things. Christ is present. He's promised this. We also expect prayerfully divine intervention. The extraordinary may happen, but it is not the norm. Signs and wonders are not the norm. Now, one doesn't deny that they may happen to individuals. It may happen from time to time, but in terms of being the norm, that is not the case. In fact, when you look at the Bible, the presence of God in extraordinary outpourings only occurred on three periods of time in the Bible. The first one was in the days of Moses. In the days of Moses, there were signs and wonders wrought through Moses in the land of Egypt. The second time was in the days of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha. The third time, of course, was in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in those three periods do we have recorded extraordinary manifestations of the divine presence. In between those times, we must understand it was a very ordinary thing. Christ is present. He loves his church. But on those three periods in history, there were the extraordinary manifestation of God's presence. And when you look at those three periods, you begin to realize that each one of those periods and those manifestations of extraordinary signs and wonders, a new thing was being done by God in the whole process of redemption. In the days of Moses, it was the beginning of the theocracy, the coming of the inscribed law. And so God accompanied that with extraordinary signs and wonders to manifest his presence. In the days of the king, something else was happening, something new. It was the introduction of the kingdom period, the transition from a theocracy to a kingdom. And when that happened, in the progress of revelation and redemption, God manifested his presence extraordinarily. And after that, there was 400 years of silence. And in the next season of the extraordinary presence of God was with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful miracles that our Lord wrought during his ministry. But these were not the normative times. These were the exceptional times. And so we must appreciate, I hope, that we must continue doing the ordinary things, as I've been stressing, but open to the extraordinary, but not to put our hopes on the extraordinary because they are not the norm. Now, I believe that God might well restore extraordinary manifestations of his presence in the future, because in the whole process of redemption, there still remains some wonderful things to happen. And I speak here of the second coming. I speak here of the conversion of the Jews, which I believe to be biblical. These are wonderful things. These are tremendous steps forward in the whole story of redemption. And we shouldn't be surprised if we're here at the time when the Jews are converted and when Christ comes again to see extraordinary manifestations of the presence of Christ. But presently, we continue as we are, rejoicing in the fact that Jesus has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We must claim this promise and live it out. Jesus is delighted with us when we meet here. And he's present with us. He knows our needs. He knows the issues we face. We are to come to him, acknowledging him. And he will answer our prayers. He will manifest his presence spiritually, encourage us. He will provide for us whatever you need. Take it to the Father in prayer. Do not be anxious. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that the world worries about will be given to you. This is his presence, you see, even here at our particular time. Well, that basically is all I wanted to share this morning. It is to focus on that wonderful statement that Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Well, isn't that tremendous? Think about it. Who is the one who's speaking? It is Christ Jesus. He's speaking before his crucifixion, and he's speaking prophetically. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was not merely foretelling, he was actually fulfilling it. Fulfilling it. And in his heart, our dear Lord knew exactly what was going on. He knew that he would be here after the day of Pentecost through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he would be present with his people. He's with us even here this morning. Praise God for that. But let's also be open for those seasons of wonderful revival. Should he in his great mercy do a wonderful work here in this church and in this country. That is certainly my prayer, that God would revive the church in New Zealand and pour forth the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's just pray now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the statement that you uttered so many years ago, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are present with them. Father, we pray that you would encourage our hearts, that we who live in a day of small things would delight in your presence, your promised presence, your spiritual presence. We pray that you would quicken our souls, quicken our minds, that we might comprehend the scriptures, and with that comprehension, delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise his wonderful name, and go forth with absolute confidence that as we proclaim the gospel, that all authority is his, and he is with us even to the end of the age. Lord, receive our thanksgiving. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.